Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his acts of power. Praise him for his surpassing greatness. Praise him with sounding of the trumpet. Praise him with the harp and lyre. Praise him with tambourine and dancing. Praise him with strings and flute. Praise him with the clash of cymbals. Praise him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. These are the words from our Holy Scripture. Thanks be to God.
Laughter is amazing, isn't it? It was Charles Chaplin who famously said, "A day without laughter is a day wasted." It's a universal language, and today on Holy Humor Sunday, I promise to try and bring you lots of it. So from time to time during my message this morning, you'll hear this noise. I wanted a clown horn. This is as best as I could do. When it sounds, I will stop to make time for a joke or a funny quote. And if you have one, please speak up. I'm caught. There we go. Some time ago, I did a sermon on humor. Those who have knowledge of me know that, like Julia, I love to laugh. If you really know me, you know I have a comic strip mind. That, I will tell you, was cultivated years ago. When I was a little girl, things that made me laugh were nonsensical things. Bugs Bunny. My twin sister, and reading Dr. Seuss. Dr. Seuss taught me how to relate to my world. I'm sure my father is glad I didn't take Hop on Pop literally. And the absurdities Dr. Seuss talked about framed his worldview, which in turn framed my worldview. As a child, the books of Dr. Seuss were magical. During his life, Dr. Seuss, or Theodore Geisel, wrote many books for children, most with underlying themes. The Lorax and its lessons on the environment. Horton Hears a Who and equality. The Cat in the Hat and responsibility. I have no idea what One Fish, Two Fish, Red Fish, Blue Fish was. I have no idea. The Sneetches on prejudice. And my personal favorite, Oh, the Places You'll Go, which taught me not to view failures as setbacks, but to look at them as lessons and to move forward with determination. Again, all from Dr. Seuss's worldview. Theodore Geisel was a Christian man of the Lutheran faith. As a student at Dartmouth College and a graduate student at Lincoln College in Oxford, he adopted the name Dr. Seuss. His first children's book, anyone happen to know what that was? His first children's book was published in 1937, and it was, and to think that it happened on Mulberry Street. During World War II, Geisel was an illustrator of political cartoons, and he worked in the animation and film department of the U.S. Army. But his love was writing and illustrating children's stories. Over time, he published 60 children's books. This is an excerpt from a book report on the entire Bible through the eyes of a child. Remember, a child wrote this. During his life, Jesus had many arguments with sinners like the Pharisees and the Republicans. Jesus also had 12 opossums. The worst one was Judas Asparagus. Judas was so evil that they named a terrible vegetable after him. I love that one. That was my favorite. Karen, you want to do yours now? No? Go ahead. Here's a little trivia about Dr. Seuss. His name is actually pronounced Sois, like voice. He anglicized it to Seuss to rhyme with Mother Goose. One of his books has only 50 words. Any guesses? Green Eggs and Ham. An education division director once became very concerned with how many words grade one students were retaining. So he created and compiled a list of 348 words. And he came to Theodore Geisel and he said, "I challenge you to put all these words in one book." Well, Geisel used 236 of them in The Cat in the Hat. So why Dr. Seuss on Holy Humor Sunday? Why not? He's creative, he's fun. And our scripture today, I actually thought, was a fairly good match. Psalm 150 is an eloquent, passionate cry to all creation. It speaks to praising the Lord, not as a silent endeavor, but as one using sound. Let all things with breath praise the Lord. We praise God through sound, but also through the movement of our bodies. Dancing, yes, and to me, laughter bubbling up from the soul, making a sound is not only a wonderful tribute and a way to give thanks for such an incredible gift, but also illuminates the greatness of God. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Now, maybe that's a stretch for you, laughter and praise. But laughter and praise move us away from self-absorption. Psalm 150 encourages a joyful expression with abandon. So does laughter. The Sunday school teacher asks the children to draw Christmas pictures. She goes over to one student and sees he's drawn a picture of four people on an airplane. "What's this?" she asked. "Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus on a flight to Egypt," he said. "Okay, who's the fourth person?" "That's Pontius, the pilot." Jokes and nonsense. Dr. Seuss once said, "Nonsense wakes up the brain cells, and it helps develop a sense of humor, which is awfully important in this day and age." Humor, he continued, has a tremendous place in this sordid world. It's more than just a matter of laughing. If you can see things out of whack, then you can see how things can be in whack. Speaking of in whack, I challenged myself to do something twice yesterday. And that first challenge I fulfilled, and I'm going to do that right now, which is I channeled Dr. Seuss to tell the tale of Jesus, finishing, of course, with a Seussical paraphrase of Psalm 150. Seussical. Did you like that? Sounds like a frozen treat, right? Frozen treat? Or a musical instrument? Yeah. Okay, here goes. I'm going to need water for this. One day, God said, this is what I'll do. I'll send down my son. I'll send him to you to clear up this bumpity hallabaloo. His name will be Christ, and he'll teach and he'll preach, and eventually, to my children world over, he'll reach. Christ didn't come in a plane. He didn't come in a Jeep. He didn't come in a vehicle that was dirt cheap. He rode on the back of a donkey, no less, which was pretty darn humble. But I digress. He went to Jerusalem, where the mean Pharisees and, of course, the Romans both did as they pleased. This place, said Jesus, is where prophets die, and that would be true, as my tale testifies, for in that place there were those who conspired to see Jesus gone. His death they desired. So one Pharisee said to another he knew, what shall we do with this uppity Jew? I know, said the other, to Pilate he'll go. We'll all wash our hands of this business. But oh, though Christ died on the cross before Passover day, he was soon resurrected in a miraculous way, because God in heaven played a joke purely practical on death with Christ risen. How utterly tactical. And now for my ending, Psalm 150's paraphrase in Seussical terms to encourage vocal praise of God and God's glory, God's greatness and power, with cymbal and lute and harp every hour, with our breath and all that we are, we give thanks for God, for God's presence, and that wonderful prank. The ship was sinking fast. The captain called out, anyone here know how to pray? One man stepped forward and said, I do, captain. Good, said the captain. You pray, the rest of us will put on life preservers. We're one short. Sounds like our election. What do angels say when God sneezes? Now, this is my second challenge. And Keith, I want to thank you for your help with this. I decided to take the Jesus story and put it into a wrap. Not the tissue paper and tape kind, people. A wrap. So, what I'm going to do first is we're gonna read through the words together because I want you to become familiar with them. The tune is very familiar. You'll recognize it. It was a theme song for a hit television show for years. It stuck around, and every time most people hear it, they still know what it is. So before I go, actually, Keith, you want to just cut that in for just a second so they can hear that tune? It's loading, it's loading, it's loading. So So as we wait for this to load, as I said, we'll go through the words once. And if you want to sing along or talk along with me, please do. If you want to just clap and let me know you're alive, fantastic. Anyone recognize it? Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Okay, so Keith, if you'll take us through the words, let's just go through them together. We'll go through each verse, and then that way you've got them in your head. Just know that when we do the rap, it's pretty quick, okay? You don't have rap singers like this. Okay, so we'll start. Now, this is a story all about how Christ's life got flipped, turned upside down, and I'd like to take a minute, just sit right there. I'll tell you how Christ became heavenly heir. In South Jerusalem, born and raised, in the shul is where he spent most of his days, chilling out, preaching, teaching things monumental, and flipping over tax tables in the holy temple. When all of a sudden, some jealous Pharisees figured Christ was a threat to their expertise, they started strategizing then to see him executed. God's plan was in place and wouldn't be refuted. Jesus pleaded with his dad, "Dad, change your mind." God's answer was, "Son, to your fate be resigned." With a kiss of betrayal and Pilate sealing his fate, Jesus died on a cross, crucified. But wait, that's not the end of the story, you see. Jesus was resurrected. Even Thomas would agree that he returned, was seen, in fact, in many places. I wish I could have seen those Pharisees' faces. He's Jesus, Son of God, and he's at God's side, no longer a human, his power amplified. God's plan was completed, and Jesus is there, sitting with God as the heavenly heir. So to God we sing songs of praise and rejoice, using cymbals and strings in our very own voice. I'd like to thank you today as we joined in this song. May God bless you and keep you your whole life long. Okay? If I'm brave enough to write it, you're brave enough